rising to this challenge that we now want to do it in fewer than 7 minutes.
Yep.
To show that we can. When we were asked to contribute to this panel, the brief we were given was to suggest two or three things, two or three game changers, as it was put to us, that might accelerate housing supply in London. And I thought I can do that in 5 seconds. I'm going to say greenbelt, greenbelt, greenbelt. And I thought, no, but Paul would say that anyway, so I can't say that. And then, of course, he didn't, although he managed at least to get it in. So I'm not going to name check three game changers. I want to say underline three things which I think are coming through the research very strongly and which I really want to endorse and which I think can create change, if not of the game as a whole, of aspects of it. And I should say that I'm coming to this as an urban sociologist and someone who is working alongside designers and with design students. So my primary interest is not simply in binge housing, as I would put it, just providing a lot of houses, although of course I understand the need for that, I hope, as much as anyone else in this room. But I do have a concern with the kinds of housing that is being provided, who it's for, where it is, the quality of it, how it's going to be sustained, and so on. We know, I mean, if we go back a little further than the periodization that Paul was showing us, we know that where London has been successful in terms of large volumes of housing supply over time, it is being as an aspect of a mixed economy of housing supply, which brings together large and small, but also different kinds of public and private dividers. We no longer have that kind of mixed economy. So my first point is to say that given the deceleration of housing supply has coincided with the monopolization of housing supply by private providers, private and quasi-private providers, we need to reinstate and to strengthen a mixed economy of housing. And of course, it's not as if the state has disappeared. It's still incredibly active through planning, as Paul has pointed out, through very sort of piecemeal measures it has around funding within various kinds of constraints. So the notion that local government, let alone metropolitan or national government, is no longer a player is, of course, not the case. But it's not always a very effective player, and we need to bring those tools together. That's why one of the things I've underlined that's coming out of the research at the moment is the increased role of local and city government in procurement of housing. An emphasis on procurement rather than on building and management, perhaps, which everyone's rather terrified of, it seems. I'm not sure about our colleagues over here, though. So, for example, the mayor's current strategy around housing zones, I think, is a good example of this, where there are consolidated funds, not enormous funds, but nevertheless consolidated funds, which are accessible to local authorities and other actors in the procurement of new housing developments, and of course for dedicated developments around housing. The use of infrastructure grants, whether at GLA level or through local authorities coming through TfL and so on, consolidating those kinds of measures in a mixed economy of housing, which will make government, I have to...
Keep moving.
That's how many slides. Well, it wasn't that controversial. Okay, so mixed economy with a focus on procurement for government players. One of my concerns, secondly, given my interest in design, is that there should not be the kinds of trade-offs that we've seen in London between timely delivery, or even, you know, very glacial delivery, and design quality. So design quality should not be the victim of acceleration. There, of course, you can walk around certain parts of London and think that you're in Copenhagen or Paris or Stockholm, or if not in Hong Kong, given the quality of materials, the design quality, the environmental quality, the private amenity, as well as the public areas that are typical of certain new developments. But quite a lot of the time when you walk around London, you kind of feel like you're in, well, London. I don't understand why we can't be European in respect of housing design quality, if nothing else. So a second point that I've underlined that's emerging from this research is the argument for land parceling for the development of large sites. Incentivizing and levering in different developers to contribute to the same site to create some competition amongst developers on site. But I think also this will be a spur to improving quality, not least and primarily through getting rid of the real risk of just uniformity, of large-scale developments, of really unimaginative and very uniform new housing. I have a particular beef. I've appeared on Paul's Map. I live near that awful new development near the Emirates Stadium, and it's my, I sort of weep every time I walk past it and think, what an opportunity. You know, a huge number of housing units gone in, and they're horrible. I hope nobody from the developer or the architect or indeed the council has said, although then the latter might well agree with me. So I think land parceling actually could be conducive to enhancing design quality as well as increasing competition between designers, doing away with those perverse disincentives to bring housing quickly to market if there's a single developer that is delivering the whole site and doesn't necessarily want to have a cataclysmic delivery of a large number of units to the market all at once. And finally, the last point I'd want to underline has to do with the relationship between housing need and housing demand. We clearly have very high levels of housing demand in London, which is driving the kinds of debates that we're concerned with today. But we also have high levels of housing need, and they're not the same thing. People whose choices in the market as expressed demand are much more constrained. And this, again, is where local government in particular plays the crucial role. So a point that is being made through this research is the need for more certainty in the planning process and perhaps greater directiveness on the part of local authorities around affordability, around design quality, and around the type of housing that is needed in certain places. Tony's just told me that I am going to come up to 7 minutes, so I'm going to stop right there.